Hello and welcome to Grace Life Durres. We are a gospel-centered church family focused on reaching the unreached and making disciples. We pray that this teaching will help you to grow in your relationship with Jesus and discover more of the reality of Christianity.
Hello again and welcome back to Grace Life Durres. My name is Alicia. And I am, as always, excited to be getting into the Word with you today. It is my privilege to help you really discover the reality of your Christian faith. And as you listen to this recording, I believe that it will make a great impact, not just in your heart, but also in your life, with regards to how to pray empoweredly, how to have empowered prayers. And so this is what we're focusing on today. Will be our last session that we're looking at it, and it should have made at least a hunger and a desire for you to go, there is so much more in my prayer life. And so today, as we get into it, I want you to grab your Bible and a notebook, a pen, and whatever you feel like drinking, and relax and enjoy the Word of God. So Father, we just want to thank you that as we sit in this time of your Word right now, as we quiet our hearts, quiet our phones, quiet everything that's going on around us, that we will just really set our attention and our focus on you, and that we will be reminded, as we are encouraged in Philippians 4, to be anxious for nothing, but that we can, Father, give you all things. We can just through prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving make all our requests be known to you. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, who is our Lord. And so I thank you for that. I thank you that today, whatever is happening around us, whether it's good or bad, we know that you are Lord and you are faithful, you are good and you are kind. And all we can do and the best we can do is to sit at your feet, receive and walk it out what we receive. And so we praise you for this privilege. Amen. Wonderful. So I guess if I was to make this statement, you would agree with me that perspective is very important. In fact, we could go as far as to say perspective is everything. A change in how you see something can really radically change how we react in a situation. It might be a leader or a boss that treated you in an unfair way or in a way that you didn't appreciate. And then afterwards you hear that they have things that they are struggling with and there's situations you were not aware of. And it changes completely how you might react in a situation. But at other times, it can be completely, completely massive, meaning the difference between life and death, where our perspective and discovering the truth about Jesus radically impacts our lives and our eternity. So, with the wrong perspective, we can easily be led into deception. And soon enough, we start reacting from the lie that deception planted in our heart. See, if we have the wrong perspective over anything, it is very easy to believe a deception. If we believe a deception, we start taking that deception as a truth and it becomes a lie into our heart. For example, people who live always seeing the cup half empty. It doesn't matter what happens in their life, doesn't matter whether it's good, doesn't matter what's happening around them, they will always see only the negative. And that can affect their entire life, and not just theirs, but it also affects the lives of those around them. And so perspective is extremely important. And for my final session today, I want to speak to you about something that can easily sound like, oh, Alicia, it's just a perspective. However, I want to remind you that we have just agreed that perspective means everything. Having the right perspective, or what we could say is when we see the truth, we change our perspective, it has a deep impact on not just our lives, but also those around us. Okay? So what we're looking at as we close our prayer series is we are looking at when we pray, we have to come to that prayer, I almost call it a prayer atmosphere, that environment, whether it might be when you sit and pray in your bed, when you sit at a desk and pray, where you have a couch, when you enter that time of prayer and fellowship with the Lord, we have to enter it with a heart, we already have it. We already have it. Coming into your prayer time with that perspective changes everything. Because that is the truth. This is not just something that's a mind over matter thing. Perspective changes everything. Okay? And the truth will change our perspective. And with that truth, when we look at prayer the way God asks us to through the word, we see that we already have what we ask him. So let's break it down. And I will use as many examples I can to try and explain it to you. You know, many times we enter our prayer time more with the attitude of God's holding on to things and I need to ask him for things. I need to get it out of his hand. I need to manipulate it out of his hand. I need to pray and fast and beg him for things. And that is not the attitude of a born again believer who is a child of God. Other times, I've also heard that people who believe they have it all through prayer or in prayer, sometimes we become very self-centered in our prayers, and our prayers are aimed at our needs, our desires, what will make us happy and what will make us more comfortable. And that is an ungodly prayer. It's not the desire of God. It was not why Jesus set us free through the death, burial, and resurrection. He set us free from Satan so that we may come to him. We are free to now come to him. And from that place, we live. From that place, we rule. From that place, we surrender. From that place, we ask. And from that place, we take up our authority to accomplish his will on the earth. Okay, so let's say, for example, you are praying for healing, for victory over a challenge, for wisdom, for more people to become saved, or for the sick and the demon-possessed. Okay, there is a massive difference between praying from the place of asking God or begging God to give that to you compared to praying for a place from a place of agreement that God has given it to you. When we pray from the place of agreement that it is given, it changes our prayer. Remember that truth is not subject to circumstances or experience. Truth is true no matter what the circumstance. So what I'm sharing with you now is the truth. It doesn't matter what our experience is or what our circumstances may look like. What we need is the truth in order to radically impact our circumstances. When we pray from the perspective of God having to constantly give us things, even good things, we will always enter our prayer time being unsure and lacking boldness and not being willing to step into all that God has for us in prayer. However, when we pray from the perspective of the truth that God has already given us all things, then your prayer life should be bold and filled with peace. And add with that, I would say, a heart of gratefulness and thankfulness and humbleness towards the calling of God and the purposes of God. Let's go to Ephesians 1. So you might know this verse, you might even have it on your fridge somewhere. So Ephesians 1 verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So first of all, we do need to know that this verse is not speaking about financial riches. If you read the context of this verse, you will see that nowhere at all in this letter does Paul speak about financial blessings. True that we are blessed in order to have finances. We can put our hand to work and we can see God prosper us and bless us and work through our work. However, we are not speaking about financial blessings here, and Paul is not. He's speaking about something far greater. The spiritual blessing given to us in the heavenly places. Okay? So focus on this for now. I'll send you teachings if you need about why this is not speaking about finances. So just let that go for now. Very important though is what it is saying is that we have been blessed. It's not something we still have to get. It's something that is ours now. Okay? So what then does it mean to have every spiritual blessing? If we're blessed with it and it's spiritual, what does it mean? We have to therefore turn to the truth of the word And for that, we go to John 1, verse 1. And in John 1, we're going to see a very important truth. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. What is this saying? He's saying there was a specific time everything started, but before that time when everything started, the Word was. Okay? The Word was. Who is that? Christ Jesus. He was. What was first? Spiritual or physical? The spiritual. The spiritual realm was first, and then became manifest the physical world out of the spiritual world. So what God has given us in blessing us is something far greater than something physical. The greater blessing is the spiritual blessing. And if we first have that which is greater, the rest is taken care of. Right now, for example, wherever you are, there are cell phone signals all around us. Okay? We cannot see it, but we know that when we connect into that right frequency, we can access the benefits of it. However, when you connected your phone to 4G or 5G or whatever you have, or internet or Wi-Fi, that did not mean that that thing started existing the moment you plugged into it. No. The moment you plugged into it, you got access to what it has. And it has way more than what you're accessing. Okay, think about that example. Although it's not seen, you cannot say it's not real, because we can experience the benefit of that thing, which is unseen. And the same is true with spiritual realities. It's not seen, but that does not mean that it is not true. That does not mean that it does not exist. It does mean that we need to sign into or connect to the frequency of the spirituals. How do we do that? Become born again. Jesus says that you need to be born from above to Nicodemus. What is he saying? You need to be born of, you need to have the same spirit of that which is spirit. Life and life. And then you connect to a new frequency. So, when you receive salvation, you became one with God. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17. You joined yourself to him, and now you are one spirit with him. So you have connected, when you believed, to the frequency of God. Okay? If you've not yet done that, or not yet received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, then you are not connected to that frequency. And that's why you're dying. Your spirit is dead. And so it doesn't matter how much good you do, you are spiritually dead. You see, it's not for me to do good to connect to that spiritual truth. How do I connect to spiritual truth? I receive Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, and I become born again. I become born from above. I am now, my spirit looks exactly the way that God's spirit looks. We are one spirit joined to him. Okay? So, easy to change that if you have not received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Receive him. I can definitely tell you there's nothing better you can do in all eternity than to receive Jesus and make him Lord of your life. And so once you've done that, you also immediately became complete in him. Colossians 2 verse 9 to 10, Paul says that in him you have been made complete. And he is now the head, the ruler over all rule and authority. He is the head. Nobody else. He is. Okay? And so we have been made complete in him. And it is wonderful to know that in God's eyes, we are complete in him. There is no more spirit he can give us. Everything he could give us, he gave us by giving us this new birth experience where his spirit dwells in us and now we are born again. However, just because we are complete doesn't mean we are mature. Okay, I'll explain it like this. My children, I have two children, and they're quite small still. Now, they are 100% human. I cannot make them more human, and I cannot make them less human. By birth, they are human. A cat is a cat, or a cat has kittens. Dogs have puppies, 100%. But my kids are growing into what it means. They are maturing into being who they are. The same with us. We are complete in him, and now we grow into the maturity of who we are. And one thing we grow into and part of our maturity is that when we pray with the perspective or the truth that I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing, that God has already given unto me everything needed for life and godliness. We'll get to that scripture now exactly. One second. I'm jumping ahead. Look at 2 Peter 1 verse 3. I'm going to read it from the Amplified just because of how good it's in the Amplified. For his divine power, this is God, has bestowed on us absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness through true and personal knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Here we see that God has given us absolutely everything needed for our true life and godliness. It is given. It is not something that has to be given. He has already given it to us. And praise God, Peter includes there everything needed for life and godliness. Both things. Otherwise, people would say, oh, it's just for heaven one day, you know, when we die. But no, he's saying God has given us absolutely everything needed for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness. So we can bring God's image onto the earth and multiply his image on the earth as we serve his purposes, because now we belong to him and we belong to a good Father, a good Heavenly Father. I'll give you this example. Imagine I'm standing in front of you and I give you my Bible. Okay? Who has the Bible now? You have it. A few minutes later, you pass by me and you say, oh, Alicia, please, can I have your Bible? What would I respond? I would say, my dear friend, I already gave it to you. A few minutes later, possibly 2 hours later, you're still having the Bible in your hand and you say, oh, please, Alicia, you don't understand how important this is to me. I really, 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 really need your Bible. By now, you should expect me to say, I don't understand why you're asking me. I have already given it to you. It's yours. Use it. And a few hours later, you come back to me and you're like, Alicia, really, I have asked you so many times and I know you're good and I know you want to, but I really, really... I'm coming back to you to say, please, in Jesus' name, give me your Bible. At this stage, the appropriate response for me towards you would be to look at you and say nothing. Okay? Why? Because I'm evil? No. But because I have already given you what you are asking for. Okay? So, if God has already given us, as the Amplified says, absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness through getting to know him, there's maturity. As we get to know him, okay, we experience it. All we need is already provided. So how do we get that to manifest in our lives? Peter tells us, and Hosea tells us, Hosea warns us, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Hosea 4 verse 6. We are not destroyed in our lives by other people. Neither are we destroyed by the devil. We are destroyed because we don't really know God as we should. Praise God that that is easy to change. How do we change that? We get into the word, we get into a good church, and we are pastored by good pastors. That's how we get to know God. And then we learn how to listen to his spirit through the word, through good leadership, through good churches. We get to learn how God moves. How God moves in our lives, what is his call and purpose for the earth. Okay? So when we pray, we are to pray knowing that God has already given us all things for life and godliness. We ask in faith, because we are not trying to get God to do something. He has already done it. We are simply making a draw on that which is already ours. I will use this example, okay, to explain it to you. It's like the difference between applying for a bank loan to build a house. So you go to a bank, you apply for a bank loan to build a house. Or simply taking the money that is already in your bank account when you're a millionaire. You know for sure the bank has more than enough finances or money to give you that loan, yet you're not sure if the bank will approve your request. But when the finances are yours, you simply draw it because it's already approved. It's already yours. You just have to draw from it. Okay? What John 5? I want to turn there as well. I think this is my favorite verse for this teaching is 1 John 5, verse 13 to 15. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So, he's writing to the believer and he's saying, I'm writing these things so you may know you have something. What do you have? The greater blessing. Do you see it? You have eternal life. That's not speaking about a period of time. Oh, you have, when you die, the ability to live forever. No, 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 no. What this is speaking about, eternal life, is saying you have God's very kind of life. God's kind of life is now yours. When you became born again, you believed from within. You became alive, spiritually alive. Okay? Now, what you have is God's kind of life living inside of you. Now, look at verse 14. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Wow. Wow. Now, remember that John was a Jew before he became a believer. Okay. And we see here, if we read the scriptures, which is Genesis to Malachi, that this is something he is trying to explain in a way that the Jewish ear would have understood. Because to them, it was something incredible that God would hear their prayers. How many times do we read in the Psalm to hear God, that God would hear their prayer? It's like a plea. What is John saying? John is saying, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. It's like he's saying, for sure, no doubt, you do not need to doubt this. If we ask according to his will, what is his will? Well, that all men come to receive salvation. What is his will? That his kingdom be established on the earth, not our kingdom. What is his will? That we bear fruit. What is his will? That our lives may abound, not just in this lifetime, but into eternity. What is his will? That we are taken care of on the earth, building his kingdom and working alongside with him as a good, good father, as a good master. We get to see his kingdom come into the earth. His project is earth. We are his ambassadors on the earth. And now we have a mission. This is his will. When we pray like that, we can be confident he hears us. Wow, that is awesome. God is not, you know, sometimes I will be busy in my mind with something and then busy with work with something. And my child, my beloved daughter, she would have called me 3 times to show me something. And only the 3rd time do I really hear her. And I hate when I do that. I try to do it as little as I can. But you know, we're human. It happens. You know what John is telling us about praying, knowing you have it? When you pray knowing you have it, God doesn't hear you the 3rd time. He hears you. There it is, as clear as day, in black and white, guaranteed. If we pray, and we pray according to his will, and we know which is what his will is, which is how we mature through the word, through church, through pastors, through listening to his spirit, now we know he hears us. Wow. John could have stopped there, but he goes even further. Isn't that grace? And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. Doesn't that encourage you? It encourages me. We are all still asking for things that look impossible. I hope we're asking for those things. I hope we're asking and praying, oh God, I want to see more people come into your kingdom. Jesus, part of your will on the earth is to see your kingdom come. I want to lay my hands on more people and see them become healed. Oh God, you've given me a purpose. You may be giving me a practical thing in my hand that I'm good at. Show me how to use this for the kingdom of God. And yes, Father, I have some physical needs as well, God. And I thank you that you have declared in your word that they are taken care of. I am not the Gentiles who are without a God. I do not need to make the focus of my prayer life all about things. I want the focus of my prayer life to be an act of surrender and worship to the most high, holy, living, true, and faithful God, who knows and declares about himself that nothing is impossible. Oh, Father, I want to pray for nations. I want to pray for more people who don't know you to come into the kingdom. I'm praying, Father, for boldness, that as I study your word, I will go out and be an impact, Father, in my family, in my friendships, in my workplace, in wherever I am, in my church. I will stand up and become the ambassador that you've called me to be. I praise you, Jesus. Now, isn't that a prayer worth praying? Hallelujah. Amen. And when we encounter things that's a contrary to this, or when we encounter, because for sure we will encounter things that look contrary, we remind ourselves, oh, my God is a faithful God. He is a wall of fire around me. He is the glory within me. And I praise you, Father, that no matter what's happening around me, Revelation says that the Lamb of God has overcome. He is worthy, and he alone, of all our worship, all our praise. Because if everything is going wrong, I still have salvation. I am still born again. I am not dead. I am alive, and I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. And I praise you, Father, that you have chosen by your goodness and your mercy and your extreme kindness to save me, an unworthy sinner. And now I am a saint. I am called the beloved of God. I am called redeemed. I walk according to your purposes. I receive your power to fulfill your mission on the earth to reconcile man to yourself. And I take up this responsibility and I walk with it into whatever area I am in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let's continue with our teaching. So, what do we see about 1 John 5? What do we see here? We see that we are still to ask. It is not like we sit quietly in our prayer time and we go, okay, it's already done. No, that would be strange. What we are seeing here is that we can ask. Okay, but with that asking, there is a great confidence that we already have what we requested. You know, I took my son, who's 3 years old now, I took him to go and buy a new soccer ball because he loves anything with a ball, any exercise or any sport. And so we went to get him a new one. And after he spent some time looking through them, he said, this one, that one. We thought, are you sure? Are you sure? He saw one. And when he saw that one, with boldness and confidence, he pointed to it and he said, that's the one. And that's the one he got. What we didn't realize is that it's the most expensive one in the shop. But praise God, we had been blessed with finances to bless him. And you know what I loved? I walked away from there. I saw my boy with that ball under his arm. So confident, so like sure. And I thought to myself, isn't that how we should enter our prayer time with the Lord? Oh, Father, I pray for your will to be done. I pray for this kingdom of yours, Father, to come in the earth through me. Use me, Father. Here I am. Use me in whatever way. Father, help me to be able to know your word. Give me a revelation of your scriptures. Help me to speak to that friend, speak to my family, speak to whoever I come in contact with about who you are. I thank you for boldness. Boldness in Jesus' name. And I thank you that whatever standing against, whatever it is I'm trusting you for, I cancel it in Jesus' name. I set it aside under your feet where you, because you rule, you are the ruler of my life. I am yours and you are mine. That's how we should pray, you know. My kids in my house, I have some bigger kids as well that I've adopted, in a way adopted. I take care of them. And so they are mine and I am theirs. And when they come, they don't live with me anymore, but when they come into my house, they go to the fridge. They make coffee the way they want to make it. They look in the fridge if there's food. And you know what? I am almost 40 this year. I haven't lived with my mom in years. However, when I go back home or to her house, I will automatically go to her fridge and open the fridge. Why? Because I am bold. I have confidence that it's mine. I don't even ask. I will not, however, enter your house and do the same there. And the same is true in our house of our Father, where we can spend time with him, time in the Word, get to know him and say, if this is mine, Father, I want to see it. I want to see more, you know? So I want to encourage you, if you've been spending hours or months in prayer with no revelation, growth, or change in a situation, then I really believe it's because you are praying with the wrong perspective. Change your perspective and ask God to help you. You know, in Philemon 1 verse 6, it says that I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. We should acknowledge every good thing that is in us through Christ. And something incredible happens. Our faith starts to work. It builds us up. And so I want to encourage you today, after what you've listened, spend time, just even if it's 5 minutes after this teaching, don't walk away. First, pray. And maybe you need to say, oh, I've been seeing this situation wrong. I had to do this through preparing this series. I had to repent and say, oh, Father, I have been praying inaccurately. Although I've known these truths, I slipped into a pattern of not praying with the boldness that you say I can pray. I've slipped into a pattern of praying for things that have no eternal value. And Father, I thank you that you've corrected me, that you love me, and that you want more for me. And so it's challenged me, this whole series, to step into more. I want to pray more. I want to pray and more regular times. I want to pray with more effectiveness. I'm trusting the Lord to see more fruitfulness because of what he has revealed to us in these few weeks. If you want more or you desire to hear more about prayer, let us know and we will share with you some teachings that our pastor Shane Holsgrove recorded. And it will challenge you for sure. It will grow you and it is power packed as well. We love you guys. Bye.
You can find more of our free teachings on our website, www.gracelife.co. And if you're ever in the Durres area, we invite you to join us for one of our gatherings. Our aim is to help you discover Jesus, find family, and experience life. To contact us or to find out where and when we meet, visit our website, www.gracelife.co.